to be somewhere listening for your name. What a great day that will be when the roll is called up yonder and the Lord shouts out your name. Come forth, thy good and faithful servant. Great words. And we need to work hard to be able to accomplish that, to be able to reach that goal. That's something that we want to fight for every day like the Apostle Paul did. It's not something that we want to take for granted. I'm thankful that we're all here together, and I'm thankful for those who are away yet visiting other congregations. I know we have faithful members, and I know that that's where they're at right this moment. You know, I'd like to think tonight about a question that's been asked countless thousands of times. You know, this is a question that every one of us should be asking ourselves on a regular basis. It's a question that when answered, it can better our lives when we seek answers. It's a question that can put a foundation underneath our soul's feet. And so it's an important question. A question that oftentimes people ask when it's too late. A simple question, yet a powerful question. Able to motivate and guide us towards godliness and righteousness and happiness. To have peace in our lives. Powerful question. What is the question? I'd like to preface that with something that I saw earlier today. I don't know if you can read that, but it said, how did it get so late so soon? It's night before it's afternoon. December's here before it's June. My goodness, how the time has flown. How did it get to be so late so soon? And, you know, that's a parody on the idea that just time flies. It's, you never have enough time, do we? Time is such a precious thing, and too often it's taken for granted. And so as we think about the idea here, we really want to ask a question tonight, and the question is simply, what would you do with one more hour? What could you do with just one more hour? You would think that would be a little thing, and yet it's probably the greatest gift that you could be given. I think about my mother and what I would give to just have one more hour with my mother. Of course, that's too late because she's in eternity. What would we give to be one more hour with Grandma who has passed away or Grandpa who has passed away? And just if we had that one more hour. One more hour with a loved one who's taking their last breath because of some real fast-moving disease. What would we do with that one more hour? You know, the psalmist in Psalm 39 at verse 5, you see on the screen there, he said, indeed, you have made my days as handbreadth, and my age as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. And we think about our life and how short it really, truly is. And the older you get, the faster and shorter it seems to get. What would one more hour be worth to you? To me, the whole world and everything in the world. If I could use that hour for the glory of God and His kingdom upon this earth. If I could use that hour to help motivate somebody to do what is right. In Psalm 102 and at verse 3. 102 and at verse 3. You know, the psalmist said, for my days are consumed like smoke and my bones are burned like a hearth. Psalm 144 and at verse 4, the psalmist says, man is like a breath, his days are a passing shadow. Just think of that. You know, James, of course, had something to say about this as he illustrated the subject there. We look at James chapter 4 and at verses 13 through 16. And James says, "Come now, you who say, tomorrow we'll go into such and such a city and buy and sell and make gain." Boy, oh boy. And he says, "Do you not know that you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and your life is but a vapor? It's here today, gone tomorrow." But what we ought to say is that, you know, we think about our time and how little time that is. We should say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. You see, so many people, they boast in their arrogance. They think they have all kinds of time in the world. You know, I have time, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. James is teaching us that often later doesn't come. And everything we do is by the will of God. And we don't know what that hour, that time, what it'll be. I want you to think about something else here too. Think with me about some examples when we think that there are so many that they just wish they had just one more hour. One of those would be the parable of the rich fool. Remember that? In Luke chapter 12, in verses 13 through 21, and Jesus is telling a parable about a very rich man. And this rich man had everything he could possibly ever want. He had so much coming his way that he had to tear down his old barns and build new, bigger barns to store all his goods. And then what happened? He sat back and figured that I got time now. I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry. I'm all set. And what happens? God says, this day, he demanded him. This day, that man no longer had life. This day, everything that he had went to somebody else. What do you think that man would have been saying at that moment in time? I wish I had one more hour. One more hour. What about the rich man and Lazarus? When you look there in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, and we realize there's a rich man who ate really good food, sumptuous, and he just had everything. And then you have Lazarus who ate the crumbs from the rich man's table. And the dogs licked his sores. And that rich man died. Lazarus died. Lazarus was carried away into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man, of course, he went into Hades on the side of Tartarus, torment. And we think about that rich man, and you know, we want to focus there at the end when the rich man, he comes to a time when he sees Lazarus afar off, and he's concerned about his brothers. And he wants to get a message to his brothers. He's got five brothers and he wants to get this message. I don't want them to come here. And of course, Abraham tells him, we can't. First of all, if they didn't believe Moses, they wouldn't believe even if somebody came from the dead. We can't go there because, again, there's a great gulf fixed between you and me. You can't do it. What would that Lazarus have given, or the rich man, rather, what would the rich man have given for just one more hour? Just so he could go and tell his brothers, so he could tell everybody in his family, you don't want to come to this place. One more hour is all I want. But you see, it's too late. Wasn't going to happen. What about Moses and the rock there in Kadesh? When all the people are gathered and they're complaining because there's no water. We don't have water. Our animals don't have water. You brought us out of Egypt to come out here and die. And Moses approaches God, and God tells Moses, you get your brother Aaron and you get your staff and you go over there and gather the people. Remember that? You gather those people and you speak to the rock. And Moses erred, didn't he? He made a mistake. Well, he got Aaron, his brother, he got his staff, and he went over to that rock with all the people, and he spoke to the people. And he hit the rock, and God brought forth water, and the people and their animals, they all had the water they needed. But Moses, boy, if he could just have one more hour, just do that all over again. Let's roll back time here. Just give me that hour back. Moses never was able to cross into the promised land. What do you think he would have given for another hour? Turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Here the Apostle Paul, he tells us that it's important for us to walk circumspectly. Walk circumspectly. And he tells us not to be unwise. You see what it says there, verse 15. So then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And in verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I was talking to my grandson who spent the week, spent the night with us the other day. And I went into his room and he was watching a YouTube video. And I said, what are you watching, Anderson? What's that on that computer, being a concerned grandpa? And he says, it's a YouTube video. But what's it about, Anderson? He says, it's all about this family and how they live day to day. You've been watching that for over an hour, Anderson, and all that is you're just, these people are telling you what they did today and what they ate today and what grocery store they went to, and that's all it is? Yeah. And so I sat down with him and explained to him, that's a waste of time. Boy, if you could get that hour back. And I had him read this text here in the Scriptures. You see that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly means to consider all circumstances. You want to consider everything. Walk circumspectly, Paul says. Don't be as fools, but be wise, redeeming the time. Time is precious. You need to buy as much time as you possibly can. Use it for your benefit as much as you possibly can. And we talked, and we could have, I said, you know, that hour you could have been reading the Scriptures. You could have been studying this subject. You could have memorized a couple of verses. You could have prepared yourself for the next meditation that you give. What a waste of time to watch a video about how another family lives the day to day. You know, it wasn't a movie. It was just a waste of time. We need to walk in wisdom when it comes to the time that we spend. In Psalm chapter 90 and at verse 12, remember the psalmist? Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart for wisdom. Teach us to number our days. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and at verse 10, Solomon, he's the one, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there's no work or wisdom or knowledge in the grave where you're going. Time is precious. What would we do with an extra hour? Well, one thing we should do is enjoy the fellowship with one another. We should be encouraging one another and being an encourager and being encouraged by one another. Solomon in Ecclesiastes, the true value of a friend he writes about. We need to be a people who are very valuable to one another. Turn there to Ecclesiastes with me and let's look at what Solomon had to say. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We need to be friends with one another. Chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Solomon, he writes here, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift him his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warmed alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We need to be close. We're strong together, united in the one faith in Christ Jesus through the Word of God. We also think about one another and the idea that we can comfort and edify one another. We think of one another in the idea that we can have fervent love for one another. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and through 10. 1 Peter 4, 8 through 10. This is what we could do while we live on this earth with the hours that we have. If you're there, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Peter writes, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another." What could we do with that hour? "Love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." We could be a people that invite each other into our homes, and we can be people who help to feed one another. We can be an encouragement to one another. He says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to the other. As God, good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever." We can be great friends. And we can do that with that hour. Also, to fulfill the law of Christ rather than the Old Testament law, we can be a people who are concerned so much for one another. We're a people who are concerned so much for the truths of God's Word that we fulfill the law of Christ with the time that we have upon this earth. Teaching and admonishing one another. Remember that in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We need to be a people that are lifting one another up on a regular basis. And we do that in every assembly. We do that whenever we get an opportunity to come together. We need to do these things because that's what we can do with the valuable time that God has given us. To exhort and strengthen, to be real friends. And this needs to be an outward kind of love. Look at 1 John chapter 3 with me in verses 16 through 20. 1 John 3, 16 through 20. John writes, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth, and by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things." You see, it needs to be an outward thing. Jesus gave Himself for us. That's an outward thing. We need to give ourselves for one another. That's an outward thing. And we need to have a heart that is doing what is right outwardly. And we can't hide that because God is greater than our heart. You know what? This is a prelude to eternity. And the reason I say that is because we've heard it many, many times, and I'll say it again. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And this is one of the things, one of the avenues, something we can do with our time to be preparing ourselves to value one another as friends, to comfort and edify one another, to love one another fervently, to be hospitable with one another, to fulfill the law of Christ, teaching and admonishing one another, being that real friend, and being able to exhort and strengthen and do all these things in such a way that the brethren know you're doing it. Listen, everybody knows who does that. Everybody knows who does that. And so we need to be in that category of people. You can fool some of the people some of the time. You can fool some of the people most of the time, but you just can't fool God. Period. You know, many people who refuse to teach the Bible course of salvation. Many people, they just can't accept God's plan for salvation. And oftentimes they come up with arguments. And I think one of the strangest arguments, but it's the one that they think is the most powerful, is what about the soldier on the battlefield who's fighting and giving his life for you and me, for our country, and that soldier gets shot and he's in the middle of the desert and there's no water around for miles? Are you going to tell him that he can't be saved because he can't be baptized? Of course, the only right answer is that that soldier should have investigated the idea of his soul salvation before he got into battle. And the truth is, if you're asking that question, my question to you would be, why didn't you tell the soldier before he went into battle? Why didn't you have that extra hour? What would that soldier give as he's laying there shot, knowing his time is up? What would he give for that extra hour? We can only teach what God taught us about salvation. We can't change the plan to suit the man, and we can't change the mode to serve the moment. Oh, what that soldier would have given for just one more hour. You know, we think about this, and you think of the ones that are lost, and how many times people refuse to listen. And you wish you just had one more hour with that person. So many people that they just walk away and they just cannot believe what you're teaching them right out of the Scripture. And they walk away and you wish you could just have one more hour with that person. And someday that person will be facing God and saying, I wish I had one more hour. Give me one more hour, Lord. Then it'll be too late. What about it? You know, what would an hour make? How much difference does an hour make? In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Right? What would somebody give for one more hour to be able to have just enough time to convince somebody that their soul is lost without Christ? Jesus went on to say, teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'll be with you always till the end of the age. What would you give for one more hour in that kind of a circumstance? And whenever you think of this, you have to ask yourself, how much time does that person have? How much time do I have? It was just a couple of months back here that I came real close to dying myself. I lost a lot of blood. They gave me 2 units of blood in the hospital, rushed me into the emergency. How much time do we have? We don't know. Our life is but a vapor, James said. A life is but a vapor, the psalmist says. We don't know how much time we have. The young, they think there is no end to time, and as you get older, you realize you wish you had more. And when you think about that, what about your friends? What about the people you really care about? How much time do they have, and how much time have you spent trying to convince them about their soul's need for salvation? What about the person at the bank? What about the teller at the bank? What about the clerk at the grocery store? What about the doctor when you go take a doctor's visit, and the doctor and all his nurses? How much time do they have? And do you wish sometimes you just had a little extra hour to talk to them? What about the mailman, the mechanic who fixes your car? What about them? The bus driver? We need that time. And we need to always ask ourselves how much time. We also need to make time to worship God in spirit and truth. And we need to make that time an opportunity for others. Maybe to convince somebody, even all the more so as you see the day approaching. Paul tells us in the book of Hebrews, and I believe he wrote that, that we need to be a stick in somebody's side. We need to irritate. We need to urge people to come to the assembly. To not forsake the assembly. How much time? How much time would you wish you had to help somebody along that path? You know, in Psalm 145, verses 1 through 7, Psalm 145, this is David. And David writes, "I will extol you, my God, O King, I will bless your name forever and ever." He says, every day I will bless you. Every day. You think David's wasting his time? You think David will watch YouTube for a couple hours a day about how people go grocery shopping and buy gas and go swimming? He says, every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another. You shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. You think David worships God? Every day, he says, forever and ever. I kind of believe that David's not going to be asking for another hour. He's not going to be in a position where he has to say, "Wait, stop the clock. Give me some more time here." He's not going to do it. We need to be a people who are ready. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, and listen to Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. This is the Apostle Paul, who has not wasted any time. You are challenged if you challenge me in the Scriptures and show me where it shows Paul watching YouTube, where it shows Paul sitting around and just kind of wasting time, where it talks about how Paul took a vacation from his work. There's no vacations. No wasting time. Paul went from one city to the next, from one group of people to the next. When he was thrown out of one town, he went into another, and oftentimes he went back into the same town he was thrown out of. He wasted no time. And you know why? Because Paul knew that your soul was worth more than the world and everything in it. He knew that you needed Jesus Christ, the one who at one point in time he tried to destroy, and now he preaches that way. Paul. He didn't waste time. Listen to what Paul says. "I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." Can you say what Paul says? "I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Does that sound like a man who's asking for more time? A man who says to live as Christ, to live as gain, to die as Christ? Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearance." What would you do for just a little bit more time? I would ask you if you would act upon the invitation of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Hear," in John 6:45. "Hear and be taught." He said, "Believe," in John chapter 8, verse 24. "Believe that He is the Christ. Repent of your sins," Luke 13:3. "Confess Christ before men," Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. "And be baptized," Mark 16:16. And He said, "Remain faithful until death." And you won't need that extra hour. You won't need that extra time if you just act upon the invitation of Jesus this very night. But you know what is so hard as we bring this to a conclusion? What is so hard about this is that some refuse the invitation. And that if you're like me, you're hoping that you just have one more hour with that person. One more hour today, one more hour next week, one more hour next Wednesday, one more hour some day during the week, one more hour just to talk it over, just to describe what they're losing. One more hour. That's all I want. Just give me one more hour with you. A conclusion, if we know that our time's limited here, it would affect our decisions and actions, wouldn't it? I mean, if you really, truly understood how many people have faced death and decided they wanted to follow Jesus and it was too late. How many people in a car wreck or in the military or somebody that gets a very fast-moving kind of disease or maybe something internal, bleeding, whatever, and the time just flies. All of a sudden, it's just going like a rocket and it's too late. But if you knew, if you were be able to put it all together in your heart, in your mind, and you able to say, "Listen, time is short. Swift transition. Life is but a vapor. My life." Well, I think that would take any serious person to turn right around and start making proper decisions. And should not knowing be any different? If you don't know the day or the hour, it's still a guess. We never know if we do have one more hour. And we need to treat every moment for what it is, a gift from God. And if we do that, we can act in obedience while we still have time. Well, you've heard what God says we must do to be saved. At this point in time, the ball's in your court. And Lord willing, you have enough time to make that decision. But right now is the best time. Right now is the time to come and arise and be baptized to wash away your sins, or to come and repent of any sin you may have. Now is the time. Now is the time. Please, if you have a need, come forward as we stand and as we sing the song of invitation.